Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 276 of Heroes Unlimited. We're in the major super abilities section. We've been talking about so many super abilities. You know, we're already to the eyes, so we've got a lot under our belts. We've got alter physical structure powers and control powers and what we talked about growth yesterday. We talked about the ability to grow and become a giant who is not as scary as you would think for someone of that tremendous size. But nonetheless, it's a fantastical power. You know what all superpowers have in common, though? Is that they're stupid. They're stupid and they're dumb. They don't make sense. They're for children. Comic books traditionally are children's literature. Comic books traditionally are cheaply produced entertainment for dumb babies. This is not an insult. I'm not trying to diss the dumb babies in the audience, of whom I know there must be some. Maybe literally. Is somebody listening to this while like tending to a baby? While like breastfeeding? Maybe you shouldn't. But anyway, you do you. Whatever. I mean, you know, breastfeeding is the greatest superpower of all, so whatever you got to do to get through it. But when it comes to fictional superpowers, like the ones we've been talking about, they're all stupid. I don't mean this in a harsh way. I think it's fine. I think it's great. I like superheroes. I like superhero comics. The trick is, the sleight of hand that allows this genre to work is we don't think about the superpowers the way that we think about reality. We think about the superpowers the way that you think about, you know, the deeds of the mythic Greek gods, or like the way you think of it when your uncle tells you about all the shit that he got up to when he was in his 20s. And you're like, oh, that never happened. But I mean, you just got to tune that voice out. It's a story. And the premise of the story is that in 1985, your dumb fucking uncle was invincible when he drank whiskey like Popeye. Whatever. You know, it's a story. And the premise of the story is there's this power. We don't got to bring science into uncle stories. And we don't got to bring science into comic books. No one can make us. But nonetheless, we have sometimes chosen to do it ourselves here in the world of superheroes. And that is what Heroes Unlimited falls afoul of on this page. Science, logic, the traditional enemies of superheroics both make appearances on this page in the context of discussing three different superpowers. First, holographic memory projection, which is the ability to see something, experience something firsthand, and then you remember it perfectly, you lock it in, and then you can project it as a hologram later to show people. Then there is the power of immortality, which is just, you don't get old, you are immune to disease, you don't get sick, you can heal really fast, etc., etc. And then there is intangibility. Attention, future comic book writers. All you got to say about intangibility is, this hero has the power, ghost the fuck out. Everybody understands what that means. We're all familiar with ghost rules. Can you be contained by walls? No. Can you be contained by bars? No. Can you punch someone? No. Can they punch you? Also no. Can you walk through people? Yes, but that feels weird. And they're like, it's like someone has just stepped on my grave. Why is that? Because ghost powers, that's why. It's just as simple as that. Everyone gets it. Instead, you could go the route that Heroes Unlimited goes on this page, where you try to explain intangibility. If you find that you're using the word molecules, you know that you've taken the wrong path, because there's simply no way to make intangibility work by like a physicist's account of what intangibility would be. You're raising a lot of questions. As soon as you start saying molecules, my mind is turning to physics. My mind is turning to like concepts like density, concepts like buoyancy. I like a good ghost story, and this authorial interloper bringing in these science words does not endear himself to me. This motherfucker's making it hard to be a ghost. Here's the thing about intangibility. Here's Heroes Unlimited's pseudo-scientific account. Quote, this power affects the bonding element of molecules, making the person and 20 pounds of additional material on his person intangible, seen but not touched. While intangible, the character is seen as a semi-transparent ghost image of himself. So all right, your molecules no longer bond together in the same way they used to. You change their bonding behavior. Now, I'm no physicist and I'm no doctor, but I do care about your well-being because you listen to my podcast. And my advice would be to you, on the topic of molecular bonds, keep them. I think the bonds of molecules in your body, as far as I'm concerned, are a positive thing. And if you were to get rid of them, I don't think you would turn into a ghost in the sense envisioned here. I think probably your body would fall apart and you would turn into a ghost in the other more traditional sense, which is great for spooky stories, but maybe not great for crime fighting. I think you simply would die. And furthermore, I don't think you would become semi-transparent. I think you would just fall apart. I mean, I think people could see through you if you were arranged in a particularly loose pile or if someone decided to, you know, smear you over a large area. But I don't think you would become a terrifying specter. But let's go with it. Let's assume that under this hypothesis, the human body is basically like an egg. And what intangibility does is it adds, you know, sugar and everything to you and then whips you up real good so that you become a sort of effervescent, a bit of a meringue of a human being. So you're still like recognizably eggy, but you're just like kind of lighter and just that little bit uncanny. Editor's note, as an experienced pie maker, I love and respect meringue. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's assume that when your molecular bonds loosen up, you just get less dense and therefore you're intangible now. And people can do whatever they want to. People can wave their arms through you and wave sticks through you and shoot bullets through you, and none of it bothers you in the least. The bad news is you're not totally invincible. You can still be affected by heat. You can still be affected by electricity. Both of those have a reduced effect. And you are very affected by gases because gases get right into your bloodstream. They just like suffuse your whole body. This is kind of strange because you can also walk on gases. Like you can walk on mist or fog by adjusting your density. This is where I get very hazy on the science and on the logic. So I'm light enough because my molecules have all come loose and they're all just wobbling around. That makes me less dense, even though I'm the same size. So therefore, I'm so light that I can like walk on a morning fog. But if I should step off the end of the morning fog, then I like crash to the ground, which incidentally does no damage. I can't take falling damage in this form. Although it seems like what might happen if I don't take falling damage because I'm intangible is that I might fall into the ground. And indeed, this can happen. In fact, I can do this on purpose. And this is the dumbest thing in this page. So my relationship with gases, if I am a wobbly molecule wraith, is that I can breathe, and indeed I must breathe, but gases also flow right into my body. So they get directly in my blood. So like the air around me, I guess, I don't know if I need my lungs just for convenience or what, but I can breathe things in and take them through the process, but also the air just goes right through my skin into my blood, which feels to me like maybe, again, I am not a physicist, I am not a doctor. I don't know what happens if you just introduce air into someone's blood all over their whole body at once. And also I'm very hazy on like my relative density in a situation where cigarette smoke, for example, will go through my whole body and absorb into all of my blood at once, but I can also jump on top of the cigarette smoke and roll around on it if I want to. But anyway, the key thing to know is that I'm not just like out of the gas game entirely. My body's got to do some kind of gaseous stuff. I do have to breathe. And for that reason, a tactic is recommended to me that is just the goofiest shit. Here's the ability, quote, sink into the earth. The intangible state allows the character to will himself to sink into the earth slash ground up to his nose and walk on the dense molecules, effectively walking through the earth. Likewise, he can actually walk on the dense molecules of smoke or fog and thus into the air as well as walk on water. These all require concentration and use up 3 melee actions per round to maintain. So finally, we get some quality ghost story stuff. You know that dramatic moment in the ghost story when you finally go into the old basement with your lantern and you train it on the ground and you see the nose, T-zone, and forehead of a ghost who is nose deep in the ground because if he goes any deeper, he'll fucking suffocate down there. You can do that. You can achieve that classic horror moment in your campaign. This is so ridiculous. And because I wondered at first, why the nose? Why go nose deep in the ground? But it's because you gotta breathe. I mean, I guess it says nose here. I guess maybe you could go down even deeper since you can apparently absorb air through the top of your head. But this really raises a lot of questions. This whole, like, if you're going to start breathing just like through your whole body, like some kind of plant creature, but that's, it's even the inside of your body. So like, is the air touching your brain? Is there any kind of health concern to the fact that like your entire internal anatomy is exposed to the external environment, albeit in a ghostly way? I don't know. I also don't know how the fuck you will yourself down to nose deep in the ground. This rules text treats it as though uniformly, wherever you go, right around like 5'5" underground, there's like a layer of extra dense molecules. And so if you lower your density, then you will gently fall down through the less dense upper crust, the upper 5 feet of the Earth's surface, and then your ghostly feet will settle upon the extra dense supermolecules that are 5 feet 5 inches underground, and then you can just walk around on those. You can add geologist to the list of things that I am not, but I have a hard time believing that this is uniformly true, certainly. And I'm further confused by the idea of reducing your density so much that you fall through a denser substance, but then stop when you get to the very dense substance. And also, if when I walk through the air and like other gases, the gases get all up in my blood because of my wobbly ass molecules, what happens when I walk through dirt? Don't I get dirt in my blood? Can I use this nutritionally? Can I go walk through some rich soil with my ghostly arms out and like pick up all my minerals? Also, here's maybe a more psychological question, since I'm also not a psychologist, so I might as well like shoot the moon on this. Why would I do this? Why, like, what tactically would be achieved by sinking down so that only like my nose and my head are above the ground? I don't need to do this to go under anything, because I can go through walls and stuff. There's no limit to what I can get through. I can go through any density of material. So even force fields, there's no need to go underground for any reason. I certainly can't see anything down there. There's no light down there. I'm sure as hell not scaring anybody with my ghostly appearance in this form. I don't know, like for me personally, for Chris Newton, I don't know what I would do if I found like the top of a head sticking out of the floor. I mean, for sure, obviously first, I would be panicked, but it would be like that kind of panic where you run to the door and then you look back. And if I look back and it's still like a nose and a head, that's alarming, but also kind of funny. Like that's not existential dread horror. This is not like Jacob Marley level shit. This is like, there's a funny bird stuck in the house, that kind of a thing. This is like a rat got a sticky trap caught on its back and now it's running around the house with it. That's like, I'll go stand up on the couch and be freaked out like a 1950s housewife because that's who I am. But also I'm gonna take a video of this for Instagram. My soul is not filled with dread. So I don't know. I don't really know what tactical advantage this could give you. I mean, you can reach up from the ground and wave your arms through people ineffectually, but I mean, there's nothing you can do. I guess you could use it to spy on people, maybe help your prowl roll a little bit. There's less of you to spot. You can duck down under the surface of the ground if somebody's coming in your direction. Better just hope those super dense molecules hold out though. If you lose your footing at all, if you sink a little further than you expected, I don't know what you're going to do. Speaking of which, how do you get back up from being nose deep in the ground? I mean, it was already weird that lowering your density would cause you to sink into the ground, but it seems even more weird that raising your density would make you like magically rise up out of the ground. And that's a pretty like dangerous and dodgy trick as well, because it says here that if you materialize or partially materialize inside a solid object, you will immediately and painfully die. So if you're slowly becoming denser and denser while standing nose deep in the dirt, you really got to hit that green zone dead on, because just dense enough, you, I guess, rise out of the ground like the risen Christ with your arms out to the sides. You're like, here I am. I'm finished spying. And if you go like an inch too far up into the red zone, then you are dead. You just die, and forever after, your skeleton is embedded waist deep in the dirt as a warning to ghostly superheroes of later generations. This also raises the question of like what the GM is supposed to do if you refuse to spend these three actions per turn to maintain these powers. Because remember, walking on water, walking on mist, and walking around nose deep in the dirt, just a little disembodied eyes, forehead, nose zooming around. Doing any of those things costs three actions per turn, three actions per round, because of the concentration that it requires. You got to maintain the appropriate density, whatever that is. What happens if you don't? What happens if you get distracted or you find something better to do, combat breaks out, and you don't spend those actions? I guess in the case of walking on mist or fog, you just fall through. That seems natural enough. I guess you got to be extra intangible to walk on it in the first place. So if you get distracted and get a little bit less ghostly for a minute, then you would fall. But what about water? What if you're walking on water and you lose concentration? Do you sink? Do you displace water? Or does the water just just flow through your body. How does that drown you? Does it? Do you start drowning when your intangible mouth goes underwater? Because isn't there water all through your body, just like gas can get all through your body? Can you swim? Do you float? It would sure be weird if you just sank like a rock because you can't touch the water and therefore it can't hold you up. So you're like so light that you sink. But then again, if you know you lose concentration on walking on water and then you just like fall over and roll around on the surface of the water like a waterbed, then what are we doing here in the first place? Like if you can't sink, then why does it take so much concentration to walk? Like if you can't sink, you can't sink. And I'm especially curious what happens if you give up concentration while you are nose deep in the earth. Do you just like pop up? Like if you hold the rubber ducky under the water and then you let it go and it just like instantly shoots up to the surface? That would be an uncharacteristically intuitive way for physics to work for this character. But it would really raise the question of why I can't do this in the air if I can do it with the earth, where I like just let go and be ghostly until I'm like barely there and I just float up because I'm so light. Why can't I do that into the sky? Here's what I'm getting at. Nothing is added by talking about molecules here. Ever since we heard the word molecules, our life has been nothing but confusion. All they needed to say was, you have the ghostly power to move through objects. Everybody gets it. Everybody's fine. Superpowers are stupid. We accept that. It's a superhero book. We're just going with it. But when you start talking about molecules and bonds, even I, a lowly humanities major, sat through enough STEM classes at university to know what the fuck a molecule is, and I have expectations about how they work. And so does the author, of course. As we see, as the author tries to reason out like how this intangible being would react to gases and liquids and all those things, which is how we end up with the terrifying horror factor 14 apparition of a ghostly hero walking around spying on people as just a roving nose and head, looking like Ziggy from the comic strip Ziggy, inspiring terror in no one. That's the dumbest thing in this page, and it comes from a dumb place. The dumb idea of ginning up some unnecessary pseudoscience in your ghost powers. Join me next time as Ghost Powers continue on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.